Now our study today takes us again into Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, we are going through a systematic study of the Epistle to the Hebrews. We have reached chapter 11, the chapter that deals with life that is lived on the principle of faith. We have already spoken about three men who lived prior to the flood. That was Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Now today we're looking at faithful Abraham, a man who lived his life on the principle of faith. In this section that deals with Abraham, the writer gives a selection of events from Abraham's life that would show to his readers and to us why we should take joyfully the spoiling of our goods, knowing that, like Abraham, we have in heaven a better and an enduring possession. Now let me read the verses from verse 8 to verse 19. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to receive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they came out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, In Isaac your seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Now, I'm sure that all my listeners today are aware of this, that what we read in Hebrews chapter 11 does not give us a full-orbed account of all the details in the life of Abraham. In order to find out what is said about Abraham, it would be necessary to go back to the book of Genesis and begin to read at the end of chapter 11 of the book of Genesis, and then read right on to chapter 25 of that same book. And there we would have the record as given to us by the Holy Spirit through the writer of the various items or details in the life of Abraham. But here in Hebrews chapter 11, as we have indicated, what the Spirit of God is seeking to set forth here through the writer is simply this, that certain men lived their lives on the principle of faith. We have examined three of them who lived prior to the flood. Now, Abraham lived after the flood. However, in the time in which Abraham spent his life, it's the era of time commonly referred to as the time of the promises. And the Spirit of God appears to have chosen out from the life of Abraham at least three outstanding incidents, three circumstances in his life that proved that when he was tested, he was able to act in faith, so that he lived his life on the principle of faith. In fact, we might suggest to you five different angles from which you could view the life of Abraham as a life of faith. In verse 8 of this chapter, I suggest there is the promptness of faith. Verses 9 and 10, there is the pilgrimage of faith. Verses 11 and 12, there is the productiveness of faith. Verses 13 to 16, there is the prospect of faith. Verses 17 through 19, there is the proving of faith. Now, let us look at these things in some detail. In verse 8, there is the promptness of faith. When God called Abraham, he promptly obeyed, placing his entire future and his well-being in the hands of God. This was an act of faith. Remember, it says distinctly that by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. In plain words, if you were to go back to the book of Genesis and read the closing verses of chapter 11 and the opening verses of chapter 12, you learn something there concerning the call of Abraham. That is what is referred to here in Hebrews 11 and verse 8. That when God called Abraham, he obeyed. Here was the promptness of faith. Now remember, Hebrews chapter 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I pointed out that all this is illustrating what is said in chapter 10, now the just shall live by faith. It is that principle which goes into operation. Now here was Abraham then, who promptly obeyed God. It was an act of faith. At the time when God called Abraham, he was living in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. Now, according to the people who have been excavating and who have been seeking to find out about the kind of lives that people lived at that time, they say that Ur of the Chaldees was a city that was well advanced. They were enjoying many of the amenities of life. It was an advanced city of that day. Yet, Abraham was prepared, when God called him, to believe God and to turn his back on that modern civilization of that day and go out not knowing where he was going. Sufficient for him to put his hand, as it were, in the hand of God and to move out in absolute confidence in God. Here was the promptness of faith. When God called, Abraham obeyed and went out not knowing where he was going, simply to be led by God. Now, if someone was doing that today, he would be looked upon by his fellows as being a strange kind of person. After all, we want to know where we're going. We want to know the kind of country we're going to. But he was a man who went out because God called him. He believed God and he obeyed God, and promptly he stepped out trusting God to lead him correctly. Now that leads to what we have in verses 9 and 10. Here you find him a pilgrim. He's one of the pilgrim heroes, and he's walking the pilgrim highway. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited or looked for the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Here then was the pilgrimage of faith. Abraham left his country with all of its material privileges to go to another country of which God would tell him, and there he lived as a pilgrim and a sojourner, but in faith anticipating the city of God, that is, a city whose builder and maker is God. Now then, consider this man who had a good home, so to speak, in Ur of the Chaldees. But when he trusted God, he went out into a land where he was a complete stranger. The only little part of the promised land that Abraham ever owned was the place where he buried his wife. He bought that little corner of a field down at the town called Hebron. If you were to visit that town today, you could still see the place where Abraham buried his wife, and afterwards he himself was buried. His tomb is still there at Hebron. Not only he and Sarah, his wife, but his son Isaac and his wife Rebekah, and Isaac's son Jacob, along with his wife Leah. The six of them are all buried in that little burying spot. That is the only part that Abraham ever really possessed, and yet it was called the land of promise. Now all the years that he lived there, he was simply a pilgrim and a sojourner. That is, he had no abiding place in that land. He simply moved on from one little spot to the other, pitching his tent here and there. He was a tent dweller. That is, he was a pilgrim passing through, a sojourner, only here for a given season. That suggests to us the pilgrimage of faith. And all the years that he was a stranger and a pilgrim in that land of promise, Abraham was trusting God. After all, doesn't that teach us a lesson? My friend, if you profess to be a Christian, remember, you're not going to be a permanent dweller on this earth. Christians are only pilgrims here, that is, we're simply passing through. More than that, we're strangers here. We come, as it were, or belong, our citizenship is in another place. So we are pilgrims going home, and we're strangers, we're away from home. And so we're homeward bound. And someday we also are going to the place promised to us and prepared for us. Abraham was looking or waiting for a city whose builder and maker is God. And Christians today are looking for another place. We're looking for the place of which the Lord Jesus Christ spoke when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Abraham teaches us not only the promptness of faith, that we ought to obey God when God speaks, and God speaks to us today through His Word, and whatever God says to us in His Word, we should be ready to obey. Whether we understand it or not, that's another matter. Our first place is to do what we're told. A young fellow went to work, and when he was introduced to the man who would be his foreman, the foreman said to him that day, "Now, lad, as long as you're working under me, your job will be to do what you're told." That's a good way to start working, isn't it? To do what you're told. Now, may I suggest to all Christians, the moment that you profess to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're born of the Spirit of God into God's family, you should also take your stand right at that same spot, and as it were, you should lend your ear to God saying this, "Now you're one of my children, you've been saved by grace. From now on, you should be ready to do what I tell you to do." Just as the great Apostle Paul said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" There's the promptness of faith. There's the pilgrimage of faith. We should be ready to take our marching orders and keep marching on. But when you come to verses 11 and 12, there is the productiveness of faith. Abraham learned by bitter experience that patience must be exercised in order to produce the fruit of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But he had to wait God's time before Isaac could be born. Now, this is a lesson that we've all got to learn. Now, you'll see, when you come to verse 11 of this chapter, it introduces to us the name of Sarah. We'll say very little about her today, but we will refer to her again in another lesson. But verses 11 and 12 simply tell us about Sarah and Abraham. Sarah's name is introduced in verse 11, and it says, "By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Now, I want all my listeners to grasp the message here of the productiveness of faith. For example now, God promised in Genesis 12 that He would make of Abraham a great nation. And Abraham goes on year after year, and he's got no son, he's got no seed, he's got nobody to carry on the name. How then could God keep His promise to Abraham that He would make of him a great nation if he had no seed? And he and his wife Sarah began to get worried. Now, it's in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis where God makes a promise to Abraham, and it says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." So Abraham had faith to believe God. But there was an unfortunate thing here. That is that Abraham lacked the patience, that is to begin with, he lacked the patience to wait God's time. Abraham at one point tried to further the cause of God by the energy of the flesh, and it failed. And he produced the man that was called Ishmael, who became the father of the Arabs. And you see the trouble we have today in the Middle East, all because of that. But fortunately, in Hebrews chapter 11, there's nothing said about that. You see, failure is left out. what we are told here in verses 11 and 12 is how that Abraham, by his faith, was productive. He had to wait, of course, and he had to learn to have patience, and the day came when it was beyond the power of Sarah to produce, and beyond the power of Abraham, it would seem, and then it was God who stepped in, and God used Sarah, and used Abraham, and by God's power, there was produced the son who was called Isaac. Now it's from Isaac that the nation descended. Because Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob was the man whose name was changed to Israel. Jacob had 12 sons, who became the figurative heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the great nation of Israel then has been produced. God kept his promise. Abraham, you see, believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And the day came when Isaac was brought forth, and from Isaac there came the great nation. But of course he had to wait God's time. But here was the productiveness of faith. Now let me emphasize this to all who are listening today. I'm sure of this. If you profess to be a Christian, and you're a genuine Christian, you're anxious to produce something in your life for God. Let me tell you this. Anything that's produced in the energy of the flesh is not for God. The flesh cannot produce anything for God, but the Spirit can. Faith can produce for God. Here is the productiveness of faith. He produced that God had promised. He produced the son that God blessed. You and I, if we're living in faith and believing God, let us produce in our lives, through faith, that which will be honorable, that which will be approved by God. But now, there is the prospect of faith. You find that in verses 13 through 16. And here's what it says. When you come to verse 13, these all died in faith. He's referring here to those that were born coming of the line of Abraham. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they came up, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So that those who descended from Abraham, that great nation, had the prospect of faith. This prospect was associated with the promises. Those who died in faith were fully persuaded that the God who promised was able to perform. So they continued in the life of faith, and concluding life's journey, they died in faith. But now that brings us to verses 17 through 19. Here is the proving of faith. And it brings us to another outstanding incident in the life of Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, there was the proving of his faith. You find that when you go back to Genesis chapter 22. That chapter says, after these things. You've got to ask yourself, after what things? After the things mentioned in the previous chapter, he had to turn Ishmael out. And then God asked him to offer up his son Isaac. Now remember, all the promises were centered in Isaac. But when he was asked to offer up Isaac, that was the greatest test of his faith. But he never flinched. It was then that he obeyed God. And he offered up Isaac. And in so doing, he accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in figure. That is, in a figurative sense. So you see, his faith was proved. He obeyed God when he didn't understand why he was being asked to surrender Isaac. The last test was the greatest to Abram's faith, but he reckoned that God would keep his promises, even if it meant that Isaac should die and rise again from the dead.